In 63 BCE, Rome faced an existential crisis. Lucius Sergius Catilina, a charismatic but desperate aristocrat, had assembled a ragtag army of indebted veterans and discontented citizens. His plan? Burn Rome to the ground, massacre the Senate, and establish himself as dictator. Standing against this conspiracy was an unlikely defender, Marcus Tullius Cicero, a provincial outsider who had clawed his way to the consulship through sheer intellectual brilliance. When Cicero exposed the plot in a series of devastating speeches, he was hailed as father of his country. Yet within a few years, this same hero would be forced into exile, his house burned, his reputation in tatters. What explains this dramatic reversal? The answer lies in Rome's fatal constitutional crisis, a political system designed for a small city-state that had become hopelessly inadequate for governing a vast empire. Through Cicero's eyes, we witness the Republic's death throes and the birth pangs of Imperial Rome, not as distant events, but as lived experience. Born in 106 BCE in Arpinum, 70 miles south of Rome, Cicero came from a comfortable but non-aristocratic family. As a novus homo, new man, without senatorial ancestors, he differed from most Roman politicians of ancient lineage. Recognizing his son's intelligence, Cicero's father moved the family to Rome and secured him an excellent education with celebrated Greek tutors, developing the oratorical skills that would become his path to power. While his contemporary Julius Caesar embraced radical populism and his friend Atticus withdrew from politics, Cicero committed himself to constitutional order during Rome's violent political era. His breakthrough came defending Sextus Roscius against murder charges, a case others avoided as it challenged one of Sulla's powerful associates. After serving as quaestor in Sicily, he built his reputation through high-profile legal cases, notably prosecuting the corrupt governor Verres. Cicero's election as consul for 63 BCE marked a remarkable achievement for a new man. He soon faced Catiline's conspiracy, which he uncovered through an intelligence network and exposed in four masterful Senate speeches. When Catiline's co-conspirators were caught, Cicero faced a crucial dilemma about how to handle Roman citizens planning treason. Following a Senate debate where Caesar argued against execution without trial while Cato demanded immediate action, the Senate authorized execution, which Cicero implemented. That night, crowds celebrated him as father of his country, his proudest moment and one he frequently referenced thereafter. Cicero's triumph was fleeting. The first triumvirate, an unofficial alliance between Pompey, Caesar, and Crassus, effectively sidelined the Senate. When Cicero criticized their power grab, Caesar enabled his enemy Clodius to become tribune. Clodius promptly passed legislation exiling anyone who had executed citizens without trial, targeting Cicero for his handling of the Catilinarian conspirators. Abandoned by allies, Cicero fled Rome in 58 BCE. His property was confiscated and his Palatine mansion burned. His letters revealed deep despair. "I am worn out not merely with tears, but with weeping aloud," he wrote to Atticus. After 16 months, shifting alliances enabled his recall. His return journey became a triumphal procession, with delegations greeting him from every township. Yet Cicero found a transformed political landscape where real power lay with the triumvirate, his republic existing mostly in name. When civil war erupted between Caesar and Pompey in 49 BCE, Cicero attempted to mediate while privately favoring Pompey. After Caesar's victory, Cicero returned to Italy, uncertain of his fate, until Caesar welcomed him warmly. At 60, Cicero had no political role in the new Rome. Yet, ironically, his personal relationship with Caesar had never been better. The dictator appreciated his wit and collected his jokes, even those at his own expense. Amid these political developments, Cicero faced personal tragedy. His beloved daughter Tullia died in January 45 BCE, shortly after childbirth. Devastated, Cicero retreated to his remote coastal property before channeling his grief into an extraordinary period of literary productivity that would become one of Rome's most valuable legacies. Beginning in 46 BCE, he produced a comprehensive summary of Greek philosophical thought from Plato to his own day. Though claiming no originality, Cicero proved himself a popularizer of genius whose works would preserve classical thought through Europe's dark and Middle Ages. With Caesar's autocracy blocking his political career, Cicero turned to writing from morning to night, producing more in the short time since the Republic's collapse than during all the years of its existence. By 44 BCE, he had completed an impressive corpus, including treatises on knowledge, ethics, happiness amid suffering, religion, and divination. When Caesar was assassinated on the Ides of March, Cicero was not among the conspirators, but enthusiastically supported their action. Meeting with them at the Capitol, he advised seizing the initiative by immediately calling a Senate meeting. The conspirators fatally hesitated, a mistake Cicero never let them forget. This failure allowed Mark Antony to take control, setting the stage for the Republic's final act. The 2 years following Caesar's assassination witnessed Cicero's most heroic and ultimately fatal political stand. As Antony moved to claim Caesar's mantle, Cicero delivered 14 blistering speeches against him, known as the Philippics, masterpieces combining devastating personal attacks with principled defense of republican liberty. When Caesar's teenage heir Octavian arrived in Italy, Cicero supported him against Antony, convincing the Senate to legitimize Octavian's illegal private army, calling him this heaven-sent boy. This strategy initially succeeded when Republican forces defeated Antony at Mutina. However, both consuls died from battle wounds, creating a power vacuum. Octavian marched on Rome, forced his election as consul, then joined Antony and Lepidus to form the Second Triumvirate. Their first act was to order proscriptions, death sentences for political enemies. Despite Octavian's reported resistance, Cicero topped the list. He fled, but reached only his villa near Formia, where he was betrayed. Military officers found him on a wooded path. Cicero faced them with dignity, quoting Euripides before his execution. After 3 sword strokes, his head and hands were displayed in the forum. Cicero's legacy proved far more enduring than his killers imagined. His speeches and philosophical works, preserved by his secretary Tiro, became foundational texts for Western civilization. His ideas on mixed government influenced America's founding fathers and Britain's parliamentary system. Barack Obama named Cicero as the historical figure he'd most want to invite to dinner. Winston Churchill memorized his speeches. Thomas Jefferson called Cicero's works the elementary books of public right. What makes Cicero uniquely accessible among ancient figures is both his intellectual brilliance and his humanity, revealed in hundreds of surviving personal letters. Through these intimate glimpses, we see not just the brilliant statesman, but the anxious, self-doubting human who witnessed the Republic's collapse firsthand. In our world of democratic skepticism, Cicero's defense of constitutional government and warnings about freedom's fragility speak with renewed urgency across the centuries.